Welcome to the Hawley Baptist Church podcast, bringing you into a community in which everyone is welcome, lives are changing, and Jesus is King. Thanks for listening with us today. We would invite you to subscribe so you can keep up to date with us. But for now, we pray you enjoy listening to what God has in store for you in this episode, and that it helps change your life for the better. In Jesus' name, enjoy.
Good morning.
Hello. Hello.
Welcome. Welcome to Sunday morning at HBC. Thank you for joining us. This is the...
Who are you?
Who am I? That's a good question. That's a good philosophical one. I'm Stu.
And I'm Richard.
Hey, Rich. So this morning we are looking at the fourth in our series that we have been going through, Truth About Heaven. And this one is What Will Heaven Be Like? So that's going to be an interesting questions to be getting into later. So yeah, we'll discuss that kind of stuff after the sermon. So this will be what heaven is like.
Right.
Look forward to it.
See you in a bit.
Heaven. We all wonder about it. What's it like? Will we see loved ones again? And does it even matter for life today? But what if eternity isn't just about the future, but something we're already a part of? This series, we're diving into what the Bible really says about heaven and eternal life, and why it changes how we live right now. Because eternity doesn't start someday, it starts now.
We're going to be looking at the question, heaven, what will it be like? If you missed any of the previous episode sermons, you can catch up on our YouTube channel or podcast. And there is a special extra episode where I interview a theologian, a lecturer called the Dr. Reverend or Reverend Dr. David McLaughlin. I asked the question, what happens when we die? And you can, that's slightly longer than a normal sermon. You can go online and watch that, or like I said, on the podcast. But a question for you, if you'd like to turn to the person next to you, maybe say hello if you haven't done so already, and just very quickly, what would your perfect day look like, or maybe your perfect holiday, what would it look like, what would you be doing or not doing? Have a quick chat. I'll give you just 1 minute. Right, that'll do. I think for me it would revolve around family, friends, and food and drink. Those are my four things that I absolutely love. I don't know what it is for you. Maybe it's time with family, playing golf, eating and drinking, whatever it is. But what if you got to do that thing you've just thought of or just shared? What if you got to do that forever? You got to do it with no interruptions. Just because life was like that forever. See, today we're looking at what heaven is like. What do you get to look forward to when you die? And often what we do, we take those things that we enjoy, those things that are important to us, those things that we value, and we project them forwards into a hopeful future. Maybe it's things that we're perhaps unable to experience in this present reality. So we look forward to a time when we can see loved ones again, or we won't experience this pain again. Or I'll be cured of this disease or this disability. Or maybe I'll have wealth that I can't experience in the here and now. It's, you know, I live in a shack now, but I'm going to live in a mansion when I die and go to heaven. I'll receive a reward for whatever good I've done in this life. Or maybe it's something different. I remember I was standing in a queue at a Christian conference. And I was listening to earwigging to the conversation in front of me. And I don't know what they were talking about, but the man said, I don't know why people spend all this money on travel these days. I'm just going to wait till I die and do it when I'm in heaven for free. I was like, that, I hadn't thought of that one before, but obviously he's looking forward to dying and touring the world and seeing all the sights and sounds. Or actually, maybe it's just you get to enjoy life without all those things that unfortunately get in your way. Maybe it's doing some of those things you've already identified and shared. And really, this has been the same for humans throughout history. For the Vikings, it was Valhalla, where they got to eat, drink, and fight for eternity. In Islam, it's the Garden of Bliss with jeweled couches and the finest foods and drink. For the Greeks, it was Elysium, which is a reward for heroes where life is easy. I mean, doesn't that sound good? No striving, no struggling, an eternal all-you-can-eat Chinese buffet with no calories. And the Bible, when it talks about heaven or what we can expect in the future, there's some worrying stuff and rumors around eternal church services where I can manage probably 2 hours at most, but I think 2 hours of this, eternity of this, might be pushing it a little bit. But I love these verses, the description in Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophet in the Old Testament. And he says these words. He says, on this mountain, the mountain where God dwells, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich foods for all people, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wine. See, to me, that's incredibly appealing. But he carries on this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all people, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. See, doesn't that sound amazing? If that's what we get to look forward to when we die, that's something amazing to look forward to. And often when we speak of this future hope in church services and as Christians, we quote from those verses, but we're maybe referring to where that verse is quoted from in Revelation chapter 21. It says this in verse 4, it said, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. The old order of things has passed away. This beautiful picture of what eternity will be like, where the consequences of sin that has broken this world will finally be gone. The horrible, tragic, disgusting effects of sin are done away with once and for all. But I think we're missing something hugely important, vital even, about what eternity in heaven will actually be like. And I think the answer is found in the context of that verse. So we're going to look at Revelation chapter 21 and verses 1 to 4. We might not read 4 again. If you've got a Bible, turn to it. If not, it'll appear on the screen. Just a few words. Revelation is written by a guy called John. John wrote quite a lot of the New Testament. He wrote John's Gospel, so his account of his life as the disciple Jesus loved with Jesus. That's John's Gospel. He also wrote 3 letters, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, very original. And he wrote Revelation. So when we first meet John, he's a young man traveling with Jesus. When he wrote Revelation, he was an old man living in exile on the island of Patmos, and God gives him a vision. He meets Jesus in a vision, and he gives him a vision of what heaven will be like. And these verses are found right at the end of the Bible, where it comes to a climax, where this is what heaven will be like, an eternity with God. So let's read them together. So verse 1, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. Now, interestingly here, we've got heaven and earth that become one. Rather than heaven being something where we leave earth and drift off to somewhere and over there somewhere, actually heaven and earth become the same place. And it's this interesting phrase which says, no longer any sea. See, in the Bible and for the Jewish people, sea was symbolic of darkness and chaos. It was a reminder of the power of evil, and it was a place of storms and danger. The Israelites weren't really a seafaring group of people. This place would have no more sea, no more darkness, no more chaos, no more evil, no more storms, no more danger. John carries on. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And it goes on to verse 4 that we've already read. And I believe this is key. When we want to answer that question, what will heaven be like? The key thing about heaven, heaven where God's will is experienced fully, his good and perfect will, actually earth and heaven become one, and God makes his dwelling place with his people. Holy, completely, fully, and eternally. And the word they use for dwelling place is a word which is tabernacle, which is tent. And that points to a time when God had rescued his people Israel out of slavery in Egypt. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and Jesus instructed them to make a tent, a tabernacle, that would be in the middle of their camp. And God would dwell in that place. And when Moses, their leader, he could go to that tent and he could converse, he could talk, he could meet with God in that tabernacle, the earthly dwelling place of God's. And in time, this tent became a building, it became a temple. King Solomon was the first one to build the temple. And by the time Jesus came along, there was a huge temple being built by King Herod, which dominated Jerusalem. And it was seen as the dwelling place of God. If you wanted to find God, that was where you found it. It's interestingly, by the time John was writing this revelation he'd received, the temple had been destroyed by the Romans. It no longer existed. And when John gets this vision of heaven in verse 22, he says, I did not see a temple in the city, because there wasn't a need for the temple. God was there in the midst of them. God was everywhere, dwelling with his people. God will be right there in our midst. No sin to get in the way, nothing to separate us from an eternal, intimate knowledge, experience, and relationship with God. See, that is ultimately what heaven is about. But this isn't the first time that John has mentioned the words tabernacle and God tabernacling with us. It's found in John's gospel, I said John's account of his time with Jesus, chapter 1 and verse 14. It says, the words, that's God, became flesh, became human being, and made his dwelling among us, tabernacled, put up his tents with us. We have seen his glory. John was an eyewitness. The glory of the one and only Son, that's Jesus, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And then what John does in his gospel, if you read through, he goes on to give seven signs that Jesus, God, making his dwelling place among us, has brought heaven, the kingdom of heaven, down to earth. Seven signs where heaven touches earth. And in those signs, there's things like healings. There's raising Lazarus from the dead. But there's also, did anyone know what the first sign is? The first miracle? Water to wine. Why? Because it points to the finest aged wines in heaven. When they tried this wine, they said, you saved the best till last. Another one of the miracles was the feeding of the 5,000, where Jesus takes five loaves and two fishes, and they some young boy's lunchbox, divides it up and feeds 5,000. And what they're left with? Tons of food, pointing towards heaven, where we have an abundance of food. See, for John, Jesus, God dwelling with his people, was bringing something, an experience of heaven, down to earth. And I believe that we can experience that too. See, John recalls a time when Jesus, knowing he would soon die, encourages the disciples to remain, to dwell in Jesus, and he will remain dwell in them. that the Holy Spirit would come and live inside them, that God will make his dwelling place, not in some temple, not in some tent, but in our hearts. And we have that same promise, that we can become a tabernacle, a temple of the Holy Spirit. And I love these words written by Paul to the church in Corinth. It says, now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. See, an eternity with God has already started. God is here, not fully. We still live in a messed up, broken world, marred by sin. But we have been given a foretaste, a deposit, a guarantee of what is to come, an eternity living with God. So this leaves me with a challenge, and it might leave you with a challenge as well. When I was preparing this, and I asked myself, why is it that when I think of heaven, when I project those hopes and those dreams and those values forwards, do I first and foremost thinking of great food and wine rather than a restored relationship with God? Why am I not excited about that? Is it because perhaps God is too alien to me in the here and now, and I'm more aware of food and wine and friends and family than I am of God? Because I think what this has told me is that heaven isn't just where you go, it's who we know. That the more we seek God's presence now, the less he will feel like a stranger in eternity. I need more of God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit within me. I need to grow in my relationship with God so that he isn't a stranger to me. I need to realize that in the here and now, I have the gift of union with God, who made me, knows me, accepts me, and loves me. In a moment, I want to pray for you guys, but we're going to just listen to some questions.
What are you looking forward to most about heaven? Has anything in this series surprised you or challenged your assumptions about heaven? Are you experiencing union with God now? Do you want to?
Thought-provoking stuff.
Very good. Yes,
definitely. It's there's a lot to unpack in that. It's not a simple to think about.
What do you think you're looking forward to then?
All the kind of things that Martin was talking about, kind of like at the beginning, and you know what people chatted about and stuff. I think it's kind of there's so much peace to be had, like just. I think in that, and then kind of like, you know, that presence of God all the time, like perhaps that sometimes we just miss in this life, kind of it's not just, you know, eternal worship and peace and joy. There's so much more to it, isn't there? Don't you think?
I think not having sin.
I think that's the thing, that there's the nothing that's going to pull the rug out from under you.
No, and you're not going to be sinful, and you're not going to have negative thinking or
yeah,
say something.
How amazing is that going to be?
Yeah.
Not being your own worst enemy.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So I think for me, that's the big one.
Yeah.
That's no sin. You just know that nothing's going to go wrong.
Yeah. Nothing can then separate you from God. Kind of like you. Yeah. It is. This is what eternity will be like. Kind of.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
But actually being with God, I mean, how's that going to be? That's going to be.
Yeah, I don't. I don't think my mind can get there. Like, it just it's too big. Like, I don't actually.
Do you think it's like Jesus though? Do you think you'll be in the form of Jesus?
Who knows? Well, yeah, potentially.
Although you have new bodies.
Yeah,
as it says.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you have your heavenly body because we won't need the like he says the first heaven, the first earth will be gone. You know, but in what way? Who knows? I think this is one of the amazing things about Revelation.
Do you think it's the earth is reborn? I think God will
get like back to first creation in Eden,
yeah.
Essentially,
where there was
maybe
no sin.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. Perhaps that is what it will become like again. Yeah, no, that's a good question. That's one to think about. I think that one definitely. Yeah, I think whenever you get into Revelation and this kind of stuff, it's always so thought provoking, and you just spend days just kind of turning it over in your head. I never come to a firm conclusion, but yeah,
but you know it's going to be good.
Exactly. I think that's one of the things to focus on is the fact that it is good. It will be good.
Mm.
You know, there won't be any alternative. Yeah, it's going to be amazing. Whatever. Yeah, however it works out, it's going to be good. Yeah, so I think that's something you can have confidence in, and yeah, like you said, kind of it's the absence of sin, it's the relationship with God that you know is permanent. Yeah, so yeah, I think there's so much in it. How do you feel about like the series overall? Has it challenged you? What do you think? Or
yeah, I mean, it's. I think it's all kind of stuff I've had. I think we're talking about how we can kind of experience heaven now. I find quite hard to get my head around.
Yeah.
Because it's not now, as I understand it. And life is full of sin and in us and everyone around us. So it's.
Yeah, I think there is a lot in that kind of. I think we need to be better, I think, at trying to do heaven more now, kind of living as much as we can to help other people encounter it, I think, is...
Right, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, because we can have, like, you know, that peace that we know that God gives us, but for many people in the turmoil of life, they absolutely don't have that. And...
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Kind of.
I think it's easy to say these kind of things when you're not going through, some people are going through really horrible stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm, quite thankful I'm not. But
yeah. Yeah, I think it is that, like, having that heavenly perspective on, like, however awful things happen in this life, there is a resolution to it. There is something more than, there is something better than,
Yes.
And God will work it all out for the good of everybody. You know, it's not that, you know, this is permanent. You know, kind of it's not like, you know, the strife and the toil in life is, you know, that will end. You know, again, it's pretty big.
Do we want to address the elephant in the room?
Absolutely, we should always address the elephant because, you know, otherwise the elephant gets sad. But yeah, we should definitely address the elephant in the room about kind of, you know, the alternative to heaven. You know, and I think we should never. The gospel is a double-edged sword, isn't it? You know, you can't ever ignore kind of like, you know, if people choose to walk away from God, if they don't profess.
So everyone has the choice to follow Jesus, don't they?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Have eternal life.
Like, yeah, God is a just and faithful God. But at the same time, you know, there is always the other side, isn't there? That kind of like, you know, the people that choose to disregard God will, you know, will have to spend eternity away from him. And however that is, and however, you know, the Bible paints a pretty strong picture, you know, but it's, I think we have to trust that God is pure and holy, and like his judgment, then, you know, kind of however, you know, however fire and brimstone you want to be about it, kind of like the absence of God in eternity, I think will be pretty horrendous.
Mm.
Yeah, because if you kind of, perhaps if you think about it in terms of, you know, the, I don't know how to put it, like, if you kind of think about like, kind of like that God is with us now, imagine what eternity without God at all would be. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's hard to explain. It's probably not a popular thing to discuss, but
no,
it's one of those things.
But that I think it's good to remember, because that spurs you on to tell people to find heaven.
Exactly. Yeah.
Not that you can force people to believe in Jesus.
But, no, exactly. Exactly.
To actually gives you the heart to share.
Cause, yeah.
I mean, it's not down to us being good though, is it? But
no, absolutely
that's
not.
Thing. It's not
heck
like
no. It's good grace. People. It's about grace. It's heck, we'd never get there by our own our own works, would we? No.
It's all Jesus.
It kind of goes in a full circle, doesn't it? Kind of you've got that grace that we live by each day, and that we get, you know, this is how we can get to God because of what Jesus did. But obviously people can choose to reject that, and you know, that has consequence, you know. But that God is loving and pure and just and right, and kind of we can trust in that. I think that's the really important thing, that we can trust God.
Yes.
And, you know, kind of now and going into eternity. Mm. I think there's a certain amount of comfort in that.
Oh yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not on my works that I'm gonna get to heaven. Yeah. That's
absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah,
no, it's some pretty weighty things there. I think it's I mean, we could probably spend the rest of the day talking about this kind of stuff. It's pretty big.
The emails, given the emails.
I think there's because obviously this is quite thought-provoking and it's quite challenging, and I think there's probably a lot to unpack, and particularly if this isn't something that you've really thought about before, then certainly if you want to get in contact, the email appears on the screen, questions at holybaptist.org.uk, then do contact us, and somebody much wiser than me and Rich will get back to you with some constructive answers. If this has really kind of prompted you to think I need to do more, do whatever it is, then we also have the join in email, join.in at holybaptist.org.uk. So again, if there's something that you feel like you really want to help people with, then contact us and we'll go from there. But I think it's a really, really challenging series, and hopefully it's really thought-provoking for a lot of people. But there's a lot to think about, and what can you change in your life to enable others to see it. I think that's a good one, and a good place to leave it for this week. So
remember to share.
Absolutely, like, and share it on all the socials. On Facebook. absolutely, and so this will be going out on YouTube later today. So this can be watched at your leisure. So thanks, guys, for joining us this morning. Hope you enjoyed it, and we'll see you next time.
See you later.
That was today's episode of the Holy Baptist Church podcast. We hope this prompted you to want to follow Jesus even just a little bit more closely. If you have any questions about what you've heard in today's episode, or you want to know more about what it means to follow Jesus, you can email us at gotquestions@holybaptist.org.uk. We would love to hear from you. It would really make our day. If you want to hear more from us, just a reminder that you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can access that and our YouTube channel by heading to holybaptist.org.uk/media. Thank you again for listening to the Holy Baptist Church podcast. We pray God will bless you, and we will see you next time.